behind him. And there was like this wake of destruction that would come along. And this is kind of the beginning of it, what we're seeing right here in this missionary journey. So let's pick it up at verse 8. So he continued to preach the gospel no matter where he went. It didn't matter what they did to him. He would continue to preach the gospel. And here's the thing, guys. The power of God is the power of God to raise up. Do I get an amen to that? He's raised up many along the way. He raises us up spiritually. But here he even raises somebody up physically. And Jesus proved that he was who he said he was. By the way, he would raise up crippled people. And he would just say, be healed, walk. In fact, they would bring paralyzed people to him. And he had the one guy pick up his mat more than once. Pick up his mat and walk away with it. Amen? And so this is the thing. Jesus proved who he was while he walked on the earth. And now he's given the same power to his church, to prove that they are his followers, to continue in that message, to continue in that way. And so here he is, he's traveling, he's being chased out of different places, and he continues to preach the gospel, verse 8, chapter 14 of Acts. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. That's an important detail, isn't it? This is an adult man who had never walked a day in his life. So nobody could say, well, he used to be able to walk, and it must have just been a temporary illness that got his feet. And so maybe he just got well on his own. Maybe it was just a coincidence. We hear that happening today whenever God heals. Amen? Well, maybe it was this. Well, maybe it was that. No, if we prayed and they were healed, I think we need to give the credit where it's due. Amen? Give the credit to God. So here, It's being noticed and recognized. There's no possible way that this guy is going to walk on his own. He never has. And anybody that knows anything about paralysis or sickness or medical things knows that there's a condition that sets in with your muscles. If you don't use them, something happens. Can anybody tell me what the name of that condition is? Deterioration or atrophy. It's where the muscles literally will deteriorate until... Man, this is a smart corner over here. Did you hear that? I got several answers out of that one corner, so that's cool. Now, your muscles just kind of, you know, they'll just go to nothing pretty quickly. How much time does it take before atrophy starts to set in? Kind of, just about the time you stop using it, it starts. And within a couple weeks, anybody that's ever worn a cast knows what this like. Did you ever have a broken bone and you had to wear a cast for any time? Yeah. Man, whenever they take the cast off, it's just like, you know, I had my arm in a cast, and I'm like, I got no strength. It felt like rubber underneath there, you know, until I got it built back up. So here's the thing. This guy had never walked. So he had no muscle strength at all in his legs to be able to walk. So like, this is an important detail that is told to us here. And it's so cool how the Bible does it. Just throws it in there. Move on. Just one of those truths. But I think it's good for us to recognize these little truths as we go along because they help us to see the bigger picture. Okay? So, this man heard Paul speaking, verse 9. Paul, now I got this next part highlighted. Paul, comma, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. That's an important detail there, church. You know, guys, as we go along in this world proclaiming Christ and living among the people, we need to observe people, amen? We're not even going to see who God's working in their lives unless we're observing people and actually observing them intently. That means getting involved in their life. That means noticing who they are. For some of us, it might be, you know, as simple as just trying to remember their name, right? How many of you guys struggle with remembering names? I do. I'm glad I'm not the only one. Sometimes I don't know about the rest of you guys, but somebody introduces himself to me the first time, and I really try to listen, but it's just like it goes. And how many of you, you know, you feel guilty about that? I don't want to be like that. I want to make strong connections with people. I want to like be able to observe them. I want to see where they're at. I want to see where their problem is. That's what Paul was doing. Paul saw his problem. You see, he didn't see it and then hurry up and turn away and go, you know, I don't really want to see that. That's pretty troubling. He noticed this guy was sitting there listening to him and he couldn't get up, but he had faith. That little bit of faith. But he saw that faith. And you know what Paul said? This is an opportunity. God's working here. He observed. He allowed the spiritual to be what he focused through, the glasses that he saw it through. And he observed him intently, and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." Man, that's a bold statement, amen? To a person that's sitting there crippled and not able to stand up. But I tell you, something I know about this. God confirmed it in Paul's heart. See, Paul didn't do this healing. God did this healing. And God chose Paul to be the one to say the words. And Paul was in the right place at the right time with the right word, knowing the right one, and he spoke through the power of Jesus. Jesus healed this man. Because it says, and he leaped and walked. Now, when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in Lyconian language, okay, now, you notice that little part in there? When they saw what Paul had done. Now, guys, this is a mistake that happens in all of our lives. When you're serving the Lord, sometimes other people see what you're doing. Okay, and this is going to throw everything into a fray here. All right, this guy really did get healed, and he really did leap up on legs that had never walked before. This is a complete miracle, but I can tell you, Paul didn't do it. Now, it looked like Paul did it to the untrained eye, because they just looked and they saw, there's Paul standing there. He's the one who said it, and so he must have been the one that did it. And so this is what they say about it. The gods, little g, you know, there's a difference between little g gods and the big G God. Now, here, this is a learning moment here. Whenever you write God as the God of the Bible down, anytime you do that, make sure you use a big G. Amen? Because it's a show of respect, and it's a show of understanding that it ain't just, you know, what he is, it's who he is. And he's the only true living God, and he's the only one that deserves the uppercase G, okay? So let's make sure that we always do that, and then let's make sure that we notice when we see a little G, they don't get it. They don't know yet. It's still a little G God to them, okay? And there's a lot of people out there, they're believing in a God, general, little lowercase G, but they don't know the true living God, the uppercase G, all right? So we need to just kind of help them. That they need a little help, and we need to be patient. But when they don't know the big G God, sometimes they make big mistakes. Okay? They mean well, but they're making big mistakes. And that's what happens here. So let's read. The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them." All things that are in them. I got stuck again. Guys, I cannot read this without really taking in the fact that God made everything, and that is all things, the Bible says, in more than one place, personally made everything means that he owns everything, and it means that he is the only true living God. And so can we get an amen? God made all things, and he made them good. Praise the Lord. You can clap all you want, because you see, guys, this is the big culture battle that's happening right now. Your kids in school are being taught that God didn't necessarily make everything. And I'm going to tell you something. It's pretty huge. Because if he didn't necessarily make everything, and we just evolved from things, we evolved from slime, then guys, there's really no morality other than that which I make. So my morality can be my morality, your morality and your truth can be your morality and truth. And then we got everybody doing what they think is right, wise in their own eyes. And you know what you're going to find? Exactly what we're seeing happening right now. You see, it's all a result of the fact that people have decided maybe God didn't make it, so then maybe we're not responsible to it. You get the whole deal? We are responsible to God because He is owner, creator, sustainer of everything, heaven and earth. Now, if you differ with me on that and you think God used some other methods, we can talk and we can continue forward. So don't hear me saying, you know, if you don't agree with me 100% on this, you know, then we don't have a discussion or anything like that. But I can say that without a doubt, I believe the Bible says, without a doubt, God created all things in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested. And I believe those were literal days. And I believe everything that's ever been created was created by His very own hand. Now, we've got a special creation speaker coming on the 17th, so I'm using this as an opportunity to whet your appetite, to come back and listen to him and bring others, because I think he is going to stoke our furnace on this. I think he's going to help us have more fuel for the days to come to really see how that all works out and why it matters. But I can tell you, God, every time he refers to himself in the scripture, refers to himself many times as being Creator God. Creator God. Because if he's the creator, he's got ownership. And that's how Paul describes him here. And so Creator God says he's the one who heals. He's the one who deserves all the glory. And so Paul and Barnabas are now being put in a very compromised position here. What are they trying to do? They're trying to sacrifice them like they're gods. And so they're trying to worship them. And so what did they do? They tore their clothes. Why did they tear their clothes anyways? Anybody tell me? Absolutely. They ripped their shirt. And they're saying, I am so torn. I am so sad. I am so broken that you're doing this. That literally, it was a show of just complete humility before them. In other words, I'm not a god. Look, I'm just a person, and this grieves my heart. Please do not worship me, is what they're saying. And so that's kind of an unusual custom that we don't do anymore. But it was an important thing because clothes were very expensive. And so they were actually showing, I am very broken over this situation, is what they were showing. And so he says, men, why are you doing these things? Back to verse 15. We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things. Well, he's being awful gentle with them there, isn't he? They really believe in these gods. They got all their faith in this Zeus and Hermes, okay? And he's saying, turn from those worthless things. They're worthless. There's nothing to them. And he's saying, turn to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all the things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with God, with food and gladness. And with these things, they could scarcely restrain the multitude from sacrificing to them. People just want to worship something, okay? We are made to worship. And if we're not worshiping the right God, we'll be worshiping false gods. We'll be worshiping something. You look at how people worship Hollywood and worship movie stars and worship all the different singing people and singing stars and stuff, guys. We're made to worship. We just need to make sure we're worshiping the right thing. Amen? We want to be worshiping that one who made everything, made heaven and earth. And so in verse 19, then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul. Okay, now wait a minute. They went from wanting to worship him to allow them to be stoned. This is weird. I got to think on this a little bit. Are you trying to tell me people can be fickle? Now, wait a minute. They can love you 1 minute, and the next minute they're ready to kill you? Okay. You got me convinced now. And so they stoned Paul, and they dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. Now, wait a minute. All right, we're going to have to take a little time out here for just a second. I know you guys are going to get worried. I look like I'm leaving, but I'm not. I'll be back. I think we need to understand this stoning thing just a little bit, okay? What is this? The rock. Some would say it's stone, crushed stone, right? I think this is sometimes what we get to thinking they did. They stoned him. Wasn't like this, guys. It was like this. Okay, so God had the power to raise up the crippled guy, make him walk, and we go, amen. He had the power to raise up the guy who had had multiples of these thrown on top of him. They had bashed him with these rocks, with these stones, to the point that he was lifeless. He was so lifeless that they drug him out of the city. And I'm just going to tell you guys, no matter what you may get into, no matter what kind of problems you may have, God can solve the problem. So I want you to understand, it was a gruesome thing that was done to Paul that day. But God has the power to solve your problems. He had the power to solve this problem. Everybody's wondering if I'm going to set this dirty old rock somewhere down in here. I guess I'm almost going to have to. But I wanted you to see, and I want you to realize, because this is kind of a sterile, just kind of plain reading of the word. Guys, it was a stone. They would have probably buried him under a pile of these. They were not joking around. When they came after Paul, they intended to kill him. They said, you're not preaching this kind of stuff in our region anymore. You're not going to be raising crippled people up and getting all these followers. We done killed Jesus once. All right? Maybe they weren't the exact same people, but it was the same spirit behind it. And now we're going to kill you for preaching him. But I can just tell you, God's bigger than your problem. Whatever problem you came in here with this morning, if he could lift Paul up after that kind of a stoning, he can lift you up out of your problem today. Do I get an amen? Amen? God is able. God has the power. And whenever he does, here's the deal. I want you to do what Paul did. He went right back to serving God. Look at what it says. We're going to read on. And so he rose up and he went back into the city. Now, wait a minute. You know what I think Paul was thinking at that point? You done tried to kill me once. And if you read more what Paul has to write about this particular incident, you'll find out he ain't even sure he may have been dead. But he just knows God raised him up. It's kind of like, all right, you done killed me once. What can you do to me now? Can you imagine how that city felt when they saw Paul walking back in? They had to say, oh no. What are we going to do now? And you know what? Paul didn't just come back in. The next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. He went to the next city too. And when they had preached the gospel, he kept preaching the gospel, folks, to that city and made many disciples. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. He went back again. I can tell you, Paul wasn't afraid of them. Paul only feared one, and that was God himself. And he did what God said. And wherever God sent him, he went. And I'm going to tell you, the power of God was upon Paul. Do you want the power of God upon you? Same power is available to us today, guys. Displayed in different ways, but same power. God hasn't lost any of his power. The way we have that power is we be obedient to God's call in our lives. And so Paul went back and he just continued to do what Jesus told us to do in the first place, and that's make disciples, right? Make disciples. And so he continued to make disciples. And then this is what he tells them. They're strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. You remember, it all started down in this. There's two Antiochs here, by the way. We see it listed, and it gets a little confusing. But they had started out in this Antioch that's talking about sometime before, when everybody had prayed and fasted and laid hands on them and said, go, take the gospel. And these miracles were happening all around them. Now they're going back, and they're going to go back and tell them what happened, verse 27. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Say amen, because we're part of that. Amen, praise the Lord. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Now we're going to unpack these verses real quick here, because I know I took some time in the reading, but I really want us to understand that reading. We want to understand what we're reading. Do I get an amen to that? We don't want to just glaze over it and say, I did my 5 verses or my 10 verses or my 2 chapters or whatever and not get anything out of it. We really want to take it in and apply it to our lives. So here's the first point. God raises the lame through faith. Do I get an amen? I can tell you guys, my legs worked whenever I came to the Lord. So God didn't have to fix that. But there was a whole other part of me that was lame before God touched me. But I want you to know, no matter what your problem is, God's able to do it. And whenever this guy heard, Paul saw, he intently observed him, he applied the word of God, and I'm going to tell you, God healed that man that day. And that man, he didn't just like get up and saunter away. He leaped up to his feet, and man, he walked. And I'm telling you, it was evident to everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? And so let's pray that He will continue to do that through us. Now, they got the wrong idea. But the power of God stepped in and said, don't you dare take the credit for that, Paul. And Paul had such a heart, and Barnabas had such a heart for the Lord. They begged the people, get it, guys, it was Jesus. Whenever God uses you, you make sure other people know who it is. Because I'm going to tell you, believing in you won't get nobody saved, but believing in Jesus will. And so whenever God does a big work, let's make sure they know it was Jesus. Now, here's the thing, guys, people are going to misunderstand. They misunderstood here, the next slide. But people often misunderstand the power of God. But we just need to make sure that we set the word straight in their lives. Make sure that they know it's not us. The gods haven't come down in the likeness of men. He already came down and He was a man. Jesus Christ, amen? And He's the only one. And so we praise God for Jesus today. You see, God is jealous for His glory, folks. You know, there's a lot of people trying to take credit. There's a lot of people that say it's their touch that heals people and all that stuff. Don't believe none of that. Now it may be that God will flow His power through you. That's what we're supposed to be, like a pipe, like a pipeline. You guys have any frozen pipes this past week? Anybody have a frozen pipe? What happens when the pipe freezes? The life-giving water can't come through. You see, sometimes we're all gunked up, maybe frozen. Frozen out of fear, frozen out of whatever. Self-consciousness, and we don't let the Holy Spirit flow through us like we should. Let's let Him flow. Because I'm telling you, God still does what He's always done. He still brings life. And you see, all glory be given to Him, even if they try to kill us for it. Amen? That's what Paul said. They can try to kill us if they want, but you know what? We're giving the glory to God. Amen? And so even if they kill us, as we see, they did. I'm going to say Paul was probably dead at this point. And God just raised him up. But at any rate, they stoned him, and we saw it wasn't a pebble. These guys knew how to do it. They've been doing it for centuries. This is the way they would actually kill people who had transgressed the law. They'd kill them with stones. They knew how to do it. They did that, and they dragged him outside the city, supposing they did. Even if they kill us, guys, here's the deal. God can raise us. Do I get an amen? Let's give God a hand. Because I'm going to tell you, Satan holds everybody down saying, if you don't do things my way, you're going to die. You just go right ahead and tell him, you go for it, buddy. Because once I die, that's when I live. I'm going to live in heaven forever. You just try it. Bring it on. Because I'm going to tell you, guys, death in the body is not our enemy. Everybody's trying to figure out a way to get past it. And I mean, I'm all for staying here as long as I can. you know, I like modern day medicine and all that as much as the next guy. But guys, when it comes our time, God wants to take us home. Let's just say, I'm good. I'm ready. Let's do it. You know, we got a lot of considerations and stuff, but let me tell you, don't you let the fear of death keep you from serving God. If God calls you someplace and you die in the process, just make sure it's God calling you. But, you know, if you die in the process, He ain't going to fault you for that. He ain't going to say, man, you sure shouldn't have took that chance when I called you to that place. That ain't going to be what He's going to say, guys. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter into the time of my rest that I've prepared for you since the beginning of time. That's what God's going to say, you see. And then He may even decide to just raise us up this side of heaven too, just like He did with Paul. He can do it to still today. So let's just serve God. Let's just do what He says, and we're okay, because you see, He does it so that we can proclaim the gospel. That's the bottom line of this whole thing. You see, this wasn't all just a big sideshow. This wasn't just so that, you know, they could raise some money for one of their events. This wasn't just so that people could get a little bit of hope that maybe they could be healed too. No, guys, this is all so that the gospel could be proclaimed. If we look at Paul's response, he doesn't go to that next city and say, you know, guys, I know you probably saw what happened to me over there, but I'm pretty sure it won't happen to you. So you guys go ahead and serve God. No, he said, it is through many tribulations that we enter the kingdom of God. Now, they just had seen him not too long before that, killed, dragged outside the city, and then raised back up. Do you think that was an encouraging statement to that church? They're like, now here's a guy that knows. He knows that you got to go through many tribulations, and look at his boldness. That encouraged the church to be bold. I want you to know that whatever tribulations you may have to go through, God is not divorced from that. God is not like somewhere else and it happened unbeknownst to him. God allows it. Or sometimes he perfectly crafts and ordains it so that it will build faith in us, so that it, through our experience, we will proclaim the gospel. That's what God wants us to do. And you see, he wants you to do it through your life. He wants to do it through your word. But here's the deal. The child of God flat out doesn't have anything to fear. And the reason why I put a map on here is because I want you to see that, I think I got a pointer around here somewhere. I don't know how to use it. Yeah. I want you to see right here. Okay, if I can move him. Can I move him, Daniel? Okay. I'm trying to get the hang of it. Here, how about this? Here's a pointer. All right, so here he is. Here's where he got stoned. He went over here, he went back over here, and then he went all around this area, and then eventually he went back to the first Antioch where he had started. And the thing of it is, guys, Paul lived to be a pretty old age. He went on three of these missionary journeys, and he had lots of things happen to him. He didn't die one moment before it was his time to go. Paul gave his life to Christ. He lived for Christ. He preached the word. He preached the gospel. We know how to run the New Testament church mainly because of Paul and because of the times he spent in prison, and he never complained about it. He kept going forward, and he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, in 2 Corinthians, he actually talks about this experience that he had here, and he talks about how he knew a guy. It's kind of funny. It's pretty obvious that the only way he could have known a guy is because it was him. But he knew this guy who had seen glimpses of heaven that it wasn't even lawful to put it into human words. It's like there's no words to describe it. And you see, the thing about Paul was he didn't get puffed up by it. He didn't go, man, I'm indestructible. No, he knew God could take care of him no matter what he did. So he just gave his life to Christ and he gave the glory to God. And he continued to follow God. You know, and so he wasn't exactly sure all that happened there. He just knew that through it, he was blessed with this vision of heaven that kept him going through no matter what the hard times were. And so, guys, we have the same vision of heaven. All we got to do is look at the Bible. And we know it's going to be good. All we need to do is just keep a proper understanding of God and His authority over our lives. It's called the fear of the Lord. And not be fearing people. Because I'm going to tell you, at times, people can get down on us for being Christians. You ever have it happen to you? If you've ever been, you know, people maybe looked down on you for your faith before, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll just identify with the rest of the persecuted people in the world. Ours is light compared to some others. It's okay. You know, because, you know, some of those people who are persecuting us may be that close to the kingdom of God. And they just don't know it yet. Some of the meanest ones are just about to enter. What we need to do is just be faithful. And that's what Paul did. He was faithful. And he knew that no matter what, God could take care of him. God could take care of you. In fact, he will. I can assure you. Let me pray for you. Dear God, I don't know what kind of trials that the people in this room might face from day to day. Lord, I know before I came to Christ, I was like a modern-day Saul. I can remember my wife came first, and I was really hard on her for at least a year and a half over it. And Lord, it was just because I didn't have eyes to see it. It seemed like a make-believe thing to me, and so I ridiculed it. I ridiculed her in the process. And Lord, she stood firm, and I know it wasn't just her. It was you doing it through her. And God, I have repented of that. I am thankful that you didn't judge me during that time. You gave me an opportunity to be saved. I thank you for her faithfulness. Lord, I thank you for Paul's faithfulness. Even though they were trying to kill him, that man went back into that city. He didn't say, man, these people don't want me around. Since they don't want it, I'm leaving. Lord, he stayed until you told him to leave. Because he knew they needed that gospel. It's the only gospel. It is the only good news that can save us. So he carried it everywhere he went. Lord, help us to do the same. No matter what our struggle is, no matter how hard it may get sometimes, let us just reaffirm with you that we are truly doing your will. And then let us continue in the way you've sent us until you change our course. And Lord, we know that the gospel has the power to raise up. Raise up a cripple, raise up a blind person, raise up a spiritually blind person unto eternal life. And raise the dead. And we know that whether you do it this side of heaven or the other side, Lord, we know there's going to be a great resurrection someday. Our bodies will be raised. And so, Lord, help us to be like Paul and not fear that death of the body, but just to make sure that we're doing what you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.